So now we're going to go into alliances, which can be hopefully quicker, a little bit odder, hopefully more questions on alliances. I think it's a little bit more fun. I've led an alliance of 700 people, just to give you a little bit of background. Through a lot of time, we ended up disbanding because of tiredness. We just got tired of leading. Okay. With alliances, it's a little bit different. Real quick, let's just go with, what's the difference between corporations and alliances? What's the difference between non-corporations and corporations here? Well, the big difference between non-corporations and corporations are the corporation wallet, the roles, and the ability to plant, or to do, there's certain corporate things you can do, for instance, rent offices and such. And then the last thing you can do is you can put down player-owned structures or deposits as a corporation. And these can be used for research, construction, engineering, safe spots. Okay, I'm back. What was it? Okay, differences between corporations, non-corporations, and alliances. So corporations have a big ability of being able to set player-owned structures down. As I said, these can be used for safe spots, it can be used for money-making reactions, they can be used for research, construction, they can be used for a lot of stuff in general. Now, what's the difference between an alliance and a corporation? Why would you ever form an alliance? What's the point? Other than having unified standings, you also have the ability to take sovereignty. Corporations cannot take sovereignty in 0.0 space, alliances can. That's a big difference. Also, when you're war decked, as a non-corporation, you cannot be war decked as a single player. As a corporation, you can be war decked, and as an alliance, your alliance can be war decked. The big difference here is an alliance of 800 people is way greater than eight corporations of 100 people. You're less vulnerable. You've got more people in the game. And you don't have to do like this whole random set of everybody war decks this guy if we're attacked. But the biggest, most obvious one is soft between alliances and corporation. Yes, in an alliance, you pay by the corporation within an alliance. With a corporation, you just pay for one corporation. So if an alliance has 50 corporations, you have to pay 50, whatever the cost is, I've actually never war decked someone, 50 cost of the 50 times the cost of war deck because it's 50 corporations. So now, let's step up to the alliance. Now, okay, you can take soft. What does this entail? What's the difference? Why would you ever want your group to take soft? And why do you have to take soft? You don't have to. You really, some people use the alliance as just an excuse to work together better, because you have the alliance mail system, you have the connected standings, you get a lot of things that work really well, and you have the benefit of a single leader. 10 different leaders tend to not work as well as a single leader. A whole group entity as opposed to 10 kind of semi-grouped entities. The grouped entity tends to be more powerful. So with the alliance, you have the ability to take soft, which is what you read about sometimes in the forums. It's their favorite little Eve sandbox stuff. It's what Dominion was all about, and some people say hurt. But really the idea is to get your name on the map, get added benefits like the cheaper pauses. Also, you have the upgrades you can put in solid systems and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. You can also build super capitals. You cannot build super capitals without owning SOF. So that's kind of a nifty aspect of that. Now, how do you run an alliance? Do you run it just like a corporation? Alliances work a little bit differently. With an alliance, what happens is the corporations make a vote via director, via the CEO, of who the executor corporation should be. Executor corporation is the corporation who gets to make decisions for the alliance. Some people use this as a real corporation. Some people use this as a proxy corporation with just a bunch of alternates who will kind of manage from time to time the alliance. Both work pretty decently, and there's alliances from mega powers to non-mega powers that run it both ways. Now, the executor corp is just like a normal corp, except it has to pay for soft bills. It has to pay for the alliance bill. Whoever owns soft pays for the soft bills, but it has to pay for the alliance bill. The alliance bill is every month. I think it's a $2 million-ish per corp, or $10 million-ish per corp. It's something. It's not too big. It's nothing to deal with. No problem. And essentially, it comes out of the master wallet of this corporation. Also, it has the ability to declare wars for the alliance. No single corporation but the executor can declare wars. And it has to be a director or CEO within the executive corporation. The executive corporation also accepts and kicks members from the alliance. So when Bob was disbanded several years ago, if you remember that, or if you ever read about that in Game Magazine, essentially a director in their executive corp kicked all the other corps and then disbanded the alliance. Any director in any of the other corps could not have done that without someone in the executive corporation. What else can they do? I think that's mostly about it for exactly what they can do, is kind of those limitations. After that, how do you run the alliance? It doesn't work the same as a corporation, because in a corporation, you have the wallet specifically designed for your corp. In an alliance, those wallets, you know, if you're using a proxy corp like we have used before, in my previous alliance, what we used, when you had that, this corp really didn't do anything. Those wallets are pretty much specifically for specific alliance functions. We had a reimbursement wallet, we had the master wallet, we had the incentives wallet, other stuff like that. And so those different wallets would be used for different alliance things when needed. If you have a real corporation, they tend to be a little less focused on the executor. By that, I mean, they don't rely on the executor to hand out reimbursement. It's done on a corporate level sometimes. And so in the alliance, you kind of fiddle it around differently, and corps would take care of it on their own. Now, you don't have the ability to give roles to people like you would in a normal corporation, because you're trying to give roles for everybody, for someone who controls the entire alliance. You can only give roles for corporations, which is another reason why people claim that it needs a big redo on how management works, because sometimes it is, frankly, pretty terrible. So, on that, what you tend to do is you tend to give non-roles, but you give people accesses. So, for instance, if I wanted to get FCs, I would give my FCs access to an FC alliance wallet, and with alts, an alt would probably fit in there, and they wouldn't use this alt ever unless they needed to pull money out for something. And the FCs would handle their fleets and use just that wallet, and that would be kind of how I did it. And it tends to be more on a, listen to me, I'm important, as opposed to I have roles, I'm important, in the alliance level. So, for instance, Sir Mole of It, we'll use him as an example, probably isn't that much more special than anybody else in the director corp, except that he leads the alliance. For some reason or other, people follow him. He takes people out and they go do devastating things to the EVE universe. They run around and explode people and get exploded, and things explode a lot, and that's Sir Mole. And he's not necessarily better, he's just got the, I guess you could say, charisma or the leadership aspect down to where he people more by action and less by the roles in the corporation. So in some corporations you may have a bad director or a bad CEO who's got these roles, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily good leaders. It just means they've got the roles you need someone to have to let you do stuff. With alliance structure, it tends to be very, very broader than the corporate structure. Because corporate structure, you're managing maybe 200 people, unless I said the mega corporations. At most, you're going like 200 people. EVUni has much bigger, but, you know, it's beside the point. In alliances, you are dealing with thousands of people. You know, there's some alliances at 5,500, 4,000, couple 2,000, several 1,000. And so, you've got a lot of people covering different aspects of all time zones to attempt to make this alliance work. And that's usually how it tends to be, a very spread out structure. Goon Swarm once, I think they've done a class here, and they had a class on it. I think they put a link, they have a link for it, their leadership structure. But it's this big, you know, there's a CEO, co-CEO, president, there's director of this, their backups, their commanders, because at one point there were 6,000 or 4,000 man corporation alone. And so they literally had to have all these people who managed all these things to take care of all this stuff. And so they would just pretty much this giant bureaucracy that managed it. But anyways, with the alliance, goals are even more important than the corporation. I can't stress that enough. An alliance without solid goals, strong character, strong uniqueness, strong identity tends to fall apart pretty quickly. Two alliances I can think of that have very strong identities that have survived the worst of EVE, and the best as well, were Ushrakan and CBA. they both have very strong role player identities. And back in the day, Ushur Khan was demolished by CBA and friends. They were run out of all Sov systems, and they were kicked out. 3 or 4 years later, they have come back and taken over Providence. Most alliances, when they're kicked out of their space, immediately disband and fall apart. So, and CBA did the same thing. When CBA lost all its space, and it still hasn't lost all its space, it's still around because of the character and the uniqueness of them. They lost about 100 players, but those are kind of like the icing on the cake, or the fat, the trimming of the fat is really what it is. The rest of them in there are hardcore RPers and this unique identity within each. Pandemic Legion is very similar to the same way. It Alliance is the same way. All these alliances are very similar, the ones that have survived the terrible, terrible incidents, because they have very uniqueness about them. Goonswarm. Goonswarm's lost its region like 5 times. Goonswarm has been demolished. Goonswarm has been the best, the worst, blah, 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 so many times. But they have this really unique identity that keeps them together. So I guess that's kind of all I can ramble about now, and I've gone quite a bit over my time, I think. So, any questions before we wrap this up? Is anybody still awake?